Godly sorrow and confession leads to repentance. Today, we'll be talking about what godly sorrow is and its close relation to true repentance. First, let's define repentance again, this time from the Strong's Greek Dictionary. Repent means to think differently or afterward, that is, reconsider, morally to feel compunction, which is a sting of conscience, guilt that prevents or follows the doing of something bad, or a pain of doubt aroused by wrongdoing or the prospect of wrongdoing. This is the Strong's Greek Dictionary, G3340. So notice the word uses in this definition here. Words like sting, pain, guilt. So while my first definition of repentance was about how we think about sin, this part of definition is about how we feel about sin. So basically, repentance is both how we think about sin and how we feel about it. So, you know, it starts in the mind, as I talked about before. It's agreeing with what God says is wrong and what God says is right. And in this instance here, it's about how we feel about it. So when we look at this definition here, we see the word guilt, we see conviction. These emotions are what we call godly sorrow. Okay, and this is what leads to repentance. So if you're repenting, if you're on your way to repenting, your repentance always has godly sorrow in it, if it's true repentance. So I want to go through scripture just to show you an example. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8 through 11. This New Living Translation. This is Apostle Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. It goes like this. Verse 8, I am not sorry that I sent that severe letter to you, though I was sorry at first, for I know it was painful to you for a little while. Now I am glad that I sent it, not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow God wants his people to have, so you were not harmed by us in any way. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for this kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Just see what godly sorrow produced in you. Such earnestness, such concern to clear yourselves, such indignation, such alarm, such longing to see me, such zeal, and such a readiness to punish wrong. You show that you have done everything necessary to make things right. So look at that. Paul is, responding to their repentance, and he's explaining and showing us what, you know, godly sorrow looks like. They did all this stuff here. They was alarmed by their sin. They had indignation for their sin. They had a zeal to do what was right and to punish wrong. They did everything necessary to make things right. This is what's happening to you if you're truly repentant. So godly sorrow is about being sorry that you offended God. Godly sorrow is feeling the same way about sin as God does. God despises sin. It's nasty, it's filthy, it's annoying, it's intolerable, it's angering. These are the things that come on you when you are truly repentant. This godly sorrow. And so I know the difference between people who are really repentant and who not. And you'll see the same as well, because you'll know that they are very taken back by their sin. When they're repentant, they're like, man, I really messed up. My conscience, I feel guilty. My conscience is, you know, it's been bothering me lately. That's godly sorrow. And that leads to repentance, where they change their behavior. This conviction, the guilt that keeps them fighting sin, resisting temptation, and if they fail for some reason, getting back up and overcoming that sin. So this is what godly sorrow produces in us. So I would ask you to examine yourself. How do you feel about sin? If you know lying is wrong, when you tell a lie, how do you feel about it? If you are being manipulative and people call out you're trying to control me, you're trying to, you know, mistreat, you're trying to dominate me or whatever, how do you feel about that? So that's something we have to think about. Now, unrepentant people don't struggle with sin. And the reason why they don't struggle with it, because they don't have a guilt that prevents them from doing it. They just do it. They're comfortable with lying, racism, disrespecting people, manipulation, fornication, stealing, adultery, you name it. They don't lose any sleep about it. Sin just doesn't bother them like that because they don't have a godly sorrow. Now, we're going to talk about worldly sorrow in a minute, but they don't think about sin the way God thinks about it. They may have shame for getting caught, and they know that the society frowns on this particular behavior. Like, just say, for instance, a guy that looks at child porn, all right? Society frowns on that. He's ashamed for being caught. There was an instance of a guy who was a figurehead to a restaurant, and he was doing that. And so he got caught. He got put on blast. He went to jail. And people like that can express shame, but they're not necessarily guilty. They don't feel any guilt, even though they were convicted. They don't have any guilt because that they don't think away about it, about how God thinks about it. They say, this is okay. It's all right to take children and sexually ejectify children. Or they may say, yeah, I know it's wrong, but I still like doing it. I'm just ashamed that I'm caught. I got caught. You know, so I want to differentiate the two, because some people may think that that's godly sorrow, and it's not. It's just the person just ashamed that they got caught. Now, let's talk about worldly sorrow, because a lot of us can participate in that, whether you saved or not. So worldly sorrow is can look like self-abuse. You know, somebody just gets on themselves when they mess up. When they fail, they begin to beat themselves up. They demean themselves to the point of depression, suicide. That's what worldly sorrow looks like, because they're not going to God and say, God, I want to be like you. I want to overcome this. They're just bad at themselves for failing. And a lot of us do that. We get upset like, man, I really screwed up today. I really messed up today. But that should pass quickly, because you should know that you're imperfect and that with the power of the Holy Spirit, you can overcome your failures. You see, but these people don't hold on to the Holy Spirit. They hold on to their own power and their own flesh, and they try to overcome their sins in their flesh. And so when they fail, because that's what's going to happen if you walk in your flesh, they get upset with themselves, and they have a worldly sorrow. They're not sorry that they hurt God. They're sorry that they couldn't meet their standards of what they've been trying to achieve for themselves. It's not about God. It's about them being perfect to themselves. They have a distorted view of who they are, and they're trying to meet that projection of themselves that they want everybody to see. And they know deep down that they're failing. So they're upset with themselves for that. So what also happens to them is this: because they can't overcome their sins, because they're imperfect, and because they walk in the flesh and they refuse to yield to the Spirit of God, they end up covering their sins. And so a lot of times what you'll have is them doing one or two things. They'll either become hypocrites, where they just try to project something that's not true, and they'll be trying to push their dirt under the rug. Or they'll also go into this thing where they're always pointing out other people's sins. They usually do both at the same time. So if you find a person that's always talking about somebody else's dirt, because they got dirt. They're always talking about somebody else's dirt because they can't overcome their own sins. So in the feeling of failure, to get away from that, they tend to focus on other people's failures so that they can feel like they're not as dirty as they are. These are all self-deceptive practices that's going to lead to the lake of fire. This, you can't do this. We have to come clean before God and say, look, I did this, God. This ain't right. Your word said it's not right. I want to feel bad about it the way you feel bad about it, the way you hate it. I want to hate it. And I need your Holy Spirit and your power to overcome this. I'm weak. I can't do it without you. With that attitude, with that thinking, with that kind of prayer, you'll overcome sin before you know it. The problem with people keep falling into sin is because they don't want to connect to the Holy Spirit. They don't want to yield to the Holy Spirit and be filled with his power in order to overcome sin. They don't want to do it. So therefore, they keep failing and falling and falling. They upset with their own failures, but they never repent. And like Paul said, worldly sorrow doesn't lead to repentance. It leads to death, spiritual death in the lake of fire. So let's yield to the Spirit of God when we fall into sin so that we can overcome sin. Truly repentant people are going to God when they fall. Say, God, give me the strength. I don't want to fall again. When they fall, it's like, oh, man, I just fell into some sewage. I didn't want to do that, but my flesh was weak and I failed. I'm so sorry, God. I want to be right with you. God will bring them out. They confess their sins. He washes away all that. And then they're able to get clean and go forward. And the next talk, we'll talk about confession and how to confess and what it really is. And from there, you know, we can practice true repentance. You know, and a lot of religious people, like I said, they don't have godly sorrow. They're not sorry that they sinned against God or that they offended God. Sin doesn't bother them in that way. Sin bothers them because it doesn't meet their standard of what they're trying to project to other people. You'll just keep falling, getting down on yourself. I'm so sorry. But you really so sorry about yourself. It's not about God. You keep falling, getting back up, falling, getting back up. And you never repent of the sin. You never come out of it. You never overcome it. So, you know, people with God, a worldly sorrow, they don't care that God or they offended God. They don't care if it offended other people. They just sorry that they got caught and that their reputation may be tarnished because people have exposed that they've been abusing people. You know, some of these so-called Christian leaders, you know, they are ashamed and they have got a worldly sorrow about being exposed for their abusive behavior in the church. They don't want their dirt out there in public like that. But they haven't changed, and they're unrepentant, though. And their sorrow is rooted in pride. This is what the root of all this is. It's, you know, as I said before, they're sorry because they can't live up to the distorted view of themselves. It's all about them when it should be about reconciling with God and accepting the fact that they're weak and they can't meet God's standards without His Holy Spirit. That's what the difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow is. And if you have sin in your life, there are things, like we all trying to overcome things. If you don't feel a pain about it, if you don't have this sense of disdain and disgust for it, go to God about that and say, God, I want to feel the way you feel about sin. And ask Him to put that in your heart. Ask Him to say, you know, show me, reveal to me why you hate this so much so that I can feel the way you feel, because that's what prevents us from sinning in the first place. God don't sin because He don't like the sin. It's just dirty. It's filthy. Jesus, when He was on the scene on earth, He didn't do it because it's like, ugh, that's not in me. I don't want to do that. I don't want to touch that. And we got to go to God about that too. See, we got stuff all in us. Our whole, you know, our souls are full of wickedness. And outside temptations will stir up those wickedness things and lead us to sin. And we have to be like, God, give me more conscience. Give me more of your mind and how you think about sin, so that I need more of that, so that I don't want to do these things simply because it's just repulsive to me. Arrogance should be repulsive to you. Lying should be repulsive to you. These things are sins that God hates, and we should begin to learn to feel the way He feels about sin. And so that's what godly sorrow is. It always leads to repentance. It's a part of repentance. If you don't have it, you need to go to God about it and ask Him. So for now, that's all for now. Next time we'll be talking about confession, and then we'll hopefully complete this talk on true repentance and how we are to enter into the kingdom of God. Because without true repentance, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's the first thing Jesus taught when He came on the scene. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So till next time, walk in the Spirit.